All right, let's go ahead and get our Bibles out this morning. And I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 22. Let's stand, please. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 22. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 22, that's where we'll begin this morning. The Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Brother Sonny, would you lead us in prayer this morning? Everybody can be seated. Yes. Please. Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 Yes, Lord. Please, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, this morning, I'm going to be preaching, Lord willing, the third message of a four-part series that I've entitled, "How's Your Conscience?" The first message, if you were here, you remember it was on the subject of a good conscience. Last Wednesday night, I preached about the convicted conscience. This morning I plan to preach on the evil conscience, and tonight conclude the series by preaching on the concerned conscience. Now I want you to remember again, before we get started this morning, that every man or woman is born into this world with a conscience. Now what is a conscience? The conscience is a moral perception or awareness of good and evil given by God to every man. It's something you're born with. Now listen. Again, I want to say this, and we'll get into the message. Our conscience is certainly not infallible. And only the Scripture can be our supreme guide in what we believe in all matters of faith and practice. But our conscience is to work closely with the Scripture. It all works together. Our heart, our will, our mind, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And I believe He convicts. Our conscience is convicted by the Scripture and by Him living inside of us. And of course, our heart and our will and our mind all have to be aligned with it. And I think it's very important, listen, it's very important that you and I keep a clean, pure conscience before the Lord. Very important. And what we do that by not violating our conscience. And listening to our conscience when it disturbs us and convicts us. I will be preaching on the evil conscience this morning. And I want you to pay close attention to this. Because what you'll find is you'll find the course of an evil conscience. And then we're going to look at the cure for the evil conscience. Now, I want you to understand this. When you look here and notice the Scripture that we just read. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water." Now, we're going to look at the cure here at the end of this thing. But there's only one cure for an evil conscience. And it involves the blood of Jesus Christ. That's whether you're lost or saved. And we'll look at both applications. But first of all, I want us to look at the course of an evil conscience. What happens? Well, you get an evil conscience. And then we'll look as it progresses. The Bible talks about a defiled conscience. And then the end state of that is horrific. It's terrible. You can actually wind up with what the Bible calls a seared conscience. And that's where we don't want to go this morning. And maybe your conscience is not as strong and not as active as it used to be in your life. And I want to wake you up to that. I want to preach this thing to you and hopefully it'll help you this morning. That's what I want to do. Please know my heart this morning. Whatever I say this morning is to help you. It's to direct you in the right direction. So first of all, let's look at this thing about the course of an evil conscience. Now, an evil conscience, again, can be described as a defiled conscience. Take your Bible and turn to Titus 1:15. Go back there a little bit. Titus 1:15. And notice what the Bible says there. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 15, it says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. So you can have a defiled conscience. What does it mean to defile something this morning? It means to desecrate it. It means to profane it. It means to make it impure. It means to violate it. And the weak conscience, once it is violated, becomes defiled. When I violate my conscience is when I go against it. My conscience is telling me something, and I purposely ignore it, and I go against it. My conscience has become defiled. It's dirty. It's not right anymore. It's unclean. That's the progression. How do I get an evil conscience? I have to defile it first. See, if I've got a good conscience, my conscience is not defiled. My conscience is pure. My conscience is clean. But if I get an evil conscience, I have to have done something to violate my conscience. I've had to go a step against my conscience. I've defiled it. I've violated it. And you're going down a bad, bad road when you begin to do that, folks. A defiled mind and conscience go together if you look in that passage. A defiled mind and conscience goes together. If I don't keep my mind pure, my conscience is not going to be pure. Vice versa. Pure mind, pure conscience. Pure heart, pure conscience. Defiled mind, eventually a defiled conscience. Your heart's not clean, your conscience won't be clean. It all goes together. Now listen, God gave us all a conscience. And again, I want to stress this here this morning. Your conscience is not your supreme guide, because you can in fact have an evil conscience. You can in fact have a defiled conscience, so you certainly can't depend on that. But that thing that God gives every human being that comes into this life, what you do with your conscience depends so much on how much more light God gives you, how much truth He reveals to you, whether you get in trouble with Him or not, whether you get into gross sin or not. It's the little things about your conscience and not defiling your conscience and not going against your conscience. It's a real big deal this morning, church. It is a real big deal with you walking with God and you staying right and you having the right mind frame and the right heart about different issues. Because once you start defiling your conscience and you start heading down that road and you get to the point where you sear your conscience will become dead. You ever heard people talk about folks that said they ain't even got a conscience? They used to. It's deactivated. It's dead. It's of no good. They used to have one. How do you get a seared conscience? How do you get to where you don't even have a conscience about these folks that actually someday or another wind up as a psychopath or a sociopath or a serial killer or a serial rapist? They didn't start out that way. They started out. Can you imagine all the great proponents of genocide and the serial killers and the people that's tortured you and all these wicked people through the course of history? Do you realize they started out as a little bitty baby with a little cute baby picture just like you did? They started out in the crib, and you would go, goo, goo, God, God. And they smiled and had bright blue eyes, beautiful blonde hair, or if you like dark eyes or dark hair, whatever you think is a pretty baby. And you poke at them, and they're just so sweet. And you don't know that 30 years from now, that guy right there is going to be a serial rapist. What is that? Somewhere along that line, as he begins to reach the age of accountability and he begins to grow in his years, God is disturbing that boy's conscience about some things, and he violates it. He ignores it. He defiles it. And he winds up on down the road somewhere, an evil, 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 wicked person. Now, maybe some of you are not going to be a serial killer. I hope not. Where's the security? We need you in here. If you're a serial killer, please tell me about that this morning, because we probably don't want you back in here until you get that straightened out. Amen. So you may not wind up like that, but where could you wind up? There's no telling where you can wind up when you get that evil and defiled conscience. And then what you're heading for is something more sinister, more horrific. You're heading for a seared conscience. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I really want to look at verse number 2, but we'll back up to verse number 1. He's talking about when you get toward the end of time, toward the end of the church age, and stuff that's going to be happening, not just out in the world, this is going to be happening inside the church. The saved people are going to be behaving like this. And notice what it says there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They are. You're seeing that right now. They're going to continue to do that. Depart from the faith. Deceived by the devil. Who's all in this line here? Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Yeah, they're doing that. What is the problem? Where have they gotten to, the people that are doing this? Notice what it says about these people, church. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Do you know what that is? If I sear something, what happens? If I take a hot iron, if I were to take a hot iron right now and take my hand out and sear my hand with that hot iron, if I continue to do it, what will eventually happen? You won't feel it anymore. It will absolutely kill your nerve endings. Do you understand where you can go when you kill the nerve endings and you don't feel it anymore? Do you realize where you and I can head to? Maybe some of you, listen, maybe not in a drastic way, but some of you, I guarantee some of you, I'm preaching to this morning, you've already heading that way. You're already heading that way. And you need to understand what's happening is you don't feel it anymore. When you cease, listen, when the Christian ceases to feel shame and regret and remorse and guilt, you're in trouble. When we don't feel guilt and shame and remorse, and when God's people can't blush anymore, and your conscience is becoming so defiled. How did it get seared? It was evil. And you were defiling it. And you didn't take care of it. And you just slowly get over here to where, okay, I have so went against my conscience. I have so went against what I know is true in my heart and by the Bible, most importantly by the Bible. It's just like you would do physically. It's something that happens inside of you. Just I could take a hammer to your hand now and you won't feel it. The Holy Spirit could do this. I could preach just as loud as I want to this morning. You're not going to hear it. You're dead. You've killed your conscience. It ought to scare somebody in here this morning. It ought to concern you about that this morning. When a man violates or defiles his conscience, he is in effect, listen to me, church, when a man violates or defiles his conscience, he is in effect suppressing, overruling, and silencing his conscience. He is suppressing it, he's overruling it, and he is silencing his conscience. And then, as I said before, you do that so long that you become seared, and you have a seared conscience. Now, here's the order. I want you to think about this morning. You dismiss your conscience. You just say, I ain't going to listen to that, you know. Then you violate your conscience. You actually, not only are you dismissive of what your conscience is telling you, but now you go against it. You act against it. And you do that long enough that it becomes defiled. Listen to me, church, please. And you defile your conscience long enough that it becomes seared. Then you're in trouble. Is your conscience evil, defiled, or maybe seared here this morning? Let me ask you a few questions. Do you remember a time when it used to bother you about missing church? Doesn't seem to bother you as much anymore, does it? Remember a time when it used to bother you about not praying? Don't seem to hurt you that much anymore, does it? Remember when you used to miss your daily Bible reading, how it would really disturb you and you'd say, man, I got to get back in that book. I got to get back in that book. I'm just not reading that book like I ought to be. You ain't felt that disturbed over missing your Bible reading in a long, long time. Remember when it used to bother you when you watched those programs or listened to that music you knew were not right? Remember when it used to bother you when you'd get mad and you said things you knew you shouldn't have said? Now you just say, well, everybody's doing it. I'm just that way. They shouldn't have provoked me. Do you remember when it used to bother you when you heard people murmuring and complaining about your pastor? And now you do it. Not only do you not feel conviction when you do it, you justify it. Remember when your conscience used to bother you about thoughts you had? Remember when you used to get real excited when somebody at church got saved? Now you'd rather talk about a movie or a sporting event. Do you remember a time when you would have already felt a great urge to come to the altar this morning and kneel down where you are and pray to God about what kind of sad shape your cold heart is in this morning? Instead, you're thinking, who is this guy? What does he think talking to us like this? Some of you have an evil conscience this morning. And some of you may be very close to it being seared. And if nothing I said in that list bothered none of you, you do have a seared conscience. And I would crawl up this altar and beg some people to pray for me this morning, because you're in trouble. Whoever you are, wherever you are in this sanctuary, you're in deep, deep trouble with God. Do you understand me? Bad trouble with God. Thank God we've looked at the course of an evil conscience. Let's look at the cure for an evil conscience. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Then we'll go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 14. Now this is a verse we'll apply to salvation, and the one we started out with we can apply to after salvation. But it all comes back to the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're in here and you're not saved, I know why your conscience is defiled and your conscience is evil. You need to get saved and God can cleanse your heart and cleanse your conscience. And you do that by the precious blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. And notice a couple of references, one here in chapter 9, the one we began with in Hebrews chapter 10, that talks about that blood being having a relation, of getting your conscience clean before God. It's the blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You've got a dead conscience. You got an evil conscience. You got a bad conscience. Sure, you probably do, because you're not saved. If you're not saved, you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ today and be saved and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And He will wash you in the blood. He will cleanse you with His precious blood. He will make you whole. And you might surprise that your conscience will become awakened again. And you'll feel that disturbance inside when you do wrong and when you think wrong. Listen, folks, listen. One of the greatest things you can have is a clean and pure conscience. It is a good thing when I mess up that I feel it. It is a good thing that I feel conviction when I say something I shouldn't, or I think something I shouldn't, or I do something I shouldn't. That's a great way to be. And if you come to me this morning, you say, well, Brother Dennis, I ain't been living right, man. I ain't been doing right, and I just feel terrible, terrible. And if I look at you in the face and go, good, great, praise the Lord. What are you praising the Lord? I'm living bad? No, of course not. I praise the Lord that you're still sensitive to it. You can get help. Your conscience is not seared. God can help you this morning. God can do something for you this morning. But when you sit back there, like I've noticed Baptists do over the years, and just... He's talking to somebody else. I'm justifying the way I feel. I've sat through 15 minutes of this mess and I ain't felt nothing. When are we going to get out of here? You're in bad shape. And what's going to happen is you're going to hurt yourself one day real bad on the job and you're not going to know it. And you're going to wind up losing your hand. Why are you going to lose your hand? You're not even going to have a hand no more. You're going to be permanently crippled. Why? Because you couldn't feel it when it hurt anymore. And you didn't know you were hurt. So you couldn't get any help. You've got to know that you're hurt so you can get some help. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Do you understand why I'm trying to preach to you this morning, church? So, again, it's the blood of Christ. And then back to Hebrews chapter 10, where we first started. If you are saved, if you're saved here this morning, look at this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Our heart is true in that, look, we have full assurance of faith that if we will come to Christ, having our heart sprinkled, there it is, that's the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. This is a practical thing. This is for us as Christian, not a positional thing. Here we would apply it to us practically. Having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know what you got to do this morning if you're saved here? You got to say, Lord, I'm saved and I'm your child, but my conscience is dead. My conscience is hurting. And there's things that used to bother me, God, and they don't bother me no more. And I want you to wash me in your precious blood. I want you to cleanse me this morning. And I don't want to just be righteous positionally. I want to be righteous practically. I don't want just my standing to be right, because I know it always will be. I want my state to be right. I want my walk to match on the outside what you have done for me on the inside. But you can't do that. You can't do that. You cannot do that with an evil, defiled, and possibly seared conscience. You can't. It's not going to happen. I want you to think about this. Would you say your conscience is good this morning? Just ask yourself, would you say your conscience is evil this morning? Would you say maybe it's defiled? If you were to be real honest this morning, could you say, Brother Dennis, I have probably just about all but seared my conscience. Well, let me give you some good news. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse your dirty conscience this morning. It can make you pure and clean no matter what you've done or what you've said or how you've acted. And I hope that you would come and clean your conscience. And I just want to give you one more scripture from the Bible this morning I think is very important. And it's by Paul. Now, of course, I believe that Paul is the author of Hebrews. And if you don't, that's fine. But we're going to look at something Pauline. Okay? Let's look at what Paul said. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, this is something... Again, that ought to scare you a little bit. It ought to disturb you. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll start there at verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Notice what he says about them. Who being past filling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. When he's talking about those folks, did you see that? Was there a portion of that scripture that jumped out at you? What do you think I was trying to accent in that thing? What do you think I wanted you to notice he was saying in those verses? Being past feeling. Do you know what it means to be past feeling? You don't feel anymore. You say, can a Christian get to a point, brother, this where he's past feeling, he don't feel anymore? Paul just told you he could. You can get to a point where, oh, that hurts, but I'm not turning around. Oh, that hurts, I'm not turning around. Oh, that's hurt, I feel, oh, that hurts, I'm not turning around. I don't quite hurt as much as it used to, but I ain't turning around. Oh, it don't hurt, just psst. Don't feel anything anymore. You know why? Back yonder was the point of no return. Now you're past feeling. And if God is dealing with you, you don't feel it. You're completely justifiable in your excuses to do what you're doing and say what you're saying and act the way you're acting. And nobody's going to tell you any different, especially a preacher. You're killing your conscience. God help us this morning that we would continue on until we absolutely sear our conscience. And nobody can tell us anything anymore. And worst of all, most importantly, God can't tell you nothing. And if he is trying to tell you something, you couldn't hear it if you wanted to, but you don't want to. That's an evil conscience. You ought to be concerned about that as a Christian. And some of you, you really need to put all pride and all worry about what others say here today and put it aside. And you need to find your place at this altar immediately. Every head bowed and eye closed.